I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Hello, and welcome to Season 7, Episode 4 of the Relentless Pursuit Podcast, Proactive versus Reactive.
So first of all, we didn't want the podcast anniversary, the podiversary, to pass us by going unacknowledged. So,
is that the official term? It's a podiversary?
Yeah. So as of June 24th, which is our wedding anniversary, that was also the date that we chose for airing the first episode in 2020. So since we just passed June 24th, we wanted to wish the Relentless Pursuit podcast a happy 2 years.
We wanted to wish ourselves a happy anniversary.
So happy anniversary and podiversary.
And how many episodes are we at?
Good question. 70-something?
77? 78?
Yes. Some of you folks out there, do the counting and let us know. So we're inching our way towards 100. I think we can hit 100 by the end of the year.
There you go. Yeah. Hashtag goals.
All right. So that leads us into today's conversation. This has actually been, so the way part of the podcast functions is we have a long, ever-expanding list of topics that eventually become shows. I think this has been on that list for a long time, and we never quite got around to turning it into an episode. So I'm glad that we're finally here today talking about this concept that I feel kind of ebbs and flows throughout a lot of our decision-making.
Yeah. And, you know, as when we look at that list, I think a lot of it, sometimes like we look at it and he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I'm not feeling this one, or I'm feeling that one, or, you know,
like what you're inspired to have a conversation about.
And even this week I was having a hard time. I said, can you just choose? Can you just choose a topic? And so he chose. But I think it actually is, you know, as all things are kind of timely and relevant based on kind of just how our last couple weeks, you know, have been going. And so it was kind of good to think about this. So if you have kids or a job, you're constantly, if you noticed, reacting to people.
Which is most people, right? You have kids or a job or both. And yeah, there's just a lot to react to.
But people's requests, their demands, their needs, their wants, their desires, right? Like people are constantly telling you what they need from you. And if you're like me at all, completely and utterly imperfect, that can be really taxing and oftentimes aggravating. So how do we live the life we say we want while finding fulfillment, joy, adventure, and peace when we have so many kind of demands and requests and needs and wants put on us? And I think what I've come to find just kind of in thinking about this topic is that it's the decision to be proactive with what we say we want. You know, how often do we let our conditions and our circumstances be the driving force behind our decisions? Right? Because this is going on, I can't do this. Or I don't know, I'm really busy with this, so there's no time for that. But proactive people allow their values to determine the choices that they make. And proactive people act rather than being acted upon.
Yeah.
And so in, you know, the hustle and bustle of life, and depending on what you have going on, whether it's what you've planned or the curveballs that you're thrown, you know, it's our decision to be proactive and to continue to pursue those things that we say we want.
That reminds me of a poster that was on my sister's door.
I think I had a picture of some forlorn dog
or playing whack-a-mole
and with a
classic Chuck E. Cheese game.
I'm sure we've all seen this.
Where it's like just like certain things are coming up
and then you're forced to engage. You're forced to respond. Lord,
help me.
And you're just kind of in this cycle of
take responsibility for what I have control over.
Help you let go of the things I don't have.
I wish everybody could see your reenactment of the whack-a-mole and your flailing arms as you're talking right now.
Yeah, okay. Very important to
what you just said.
So was that your definition?
No, that was just kind of my introduction.
So that would be proactive.
Ooh, gets better.
When someone takes into a reactive approach to life, they wait for events to occur and then respond to them.
So proactivity, reactive is a balance between planning for what you can control and accepting and adapting to what you can
react to them with varying degrees of success or failure. Mm-hmm. And that just reminds me of a conversation I had with a friend months ago, probably even within the last year. And she was at the time kind of like, you know, that's so great that like you get up before your kids get up to like intentionally work out or have your cup of coffee or read or whatever it is. She's like, you know, it made me realize like you're so much more in control of your day because you're like already awake. You're already like, you know, your brain is on and you're ready to run. And she had said, you know, like, I wake up to my kids like crying or spilling milk, pouring it into cereal. And she's like, and I was doing that for a while. And it made me realize like I wasn't in control of the day. Like I wasn't ready to get up. And, but then it put me in a, like a reactive position where you're just putting out fires instead of kind of being in control and managing the situation. And it kind of shifted her perspective on maybe what her morning needed to look like to be more successful, to be more in control and more in charge.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about mornings because I feel like this, maybe best illustrates how, you know, how this may pertain to other daily routines or even workplace habits or longer term behaviors. So I think about this a lot in the mornings because, yeah, when you wake up, the last thing you, that you want to be in is in a posture of, like you said, like of having to suddenly react to things that you didn't plan on. And then you can get, you could get through a good percentage of your day and feel like, man, like I've been busy all day, like reacting to like, you know, this kid needs this or this is broken or the dog or the car, right? Always responding to all those things. But you get through a good percentage of your day and think, man, I still didn't do anything. So how can we be so busy and then still?
Well, and it's not that we didn't do anything, right? Because you may have already mopped the floor because a gallon of milk spilled, and you may have already had to walk the dog because it was barking, and you have already answered emails. But it's like all of these things that have kind of like clouded your, you know, your life's inbox, but it's nothing that's on your list of things that you need to achieve or accomplish.
Or that are important to you.
Right. And so I think that's the difference. It's not that you didn't do anything. It's just that you didn't do any of the things that you needed or wanted to do.
And I also think that there's a couple different things that could come up. So one is, so we're just going further with the kids' examples, like kids will spontaneously need things that you need to respond to. But but you mentioned like email as well. And I think of the same thing with anything related to electronics, whether it's text messages or social media. A lot of the time we kind of invite that distraction into our mornings when we don't need to. And I've done this myself, and I know it's a pretty common American habit is like before we're out of bed, we're already on our phones. And then right away, there are posts on social media or there are emails in their inbox, in our inboxes that we had no intention of responding to or even thinking about. But now, because it's right there in front of us, now that puts us in that reactive position to think about and respond to a post that we see that we had no design of incorporating into our day, or we're opening email and now we don't know the content of the email, the requests or the needs of those messages until we open it. And then that puts us in a position of needing or wanting to respond to those instead of distancing ourselves from that first and then thinking, what do I want to do with my morning?
Yeah. And I think that, part of something that we'll address later is kind of just even boundaries with really how you're, you know, setting up your day, how you're setting up your life and the ways in which you prepare for that. Like how, if you're not preparing for it, then you're going to be distracted by it. And then that kind of puts you again in a reactive position where you cannot be in control of what you need to do. But you are reacting to what others are kind of imposing upon you.
Yeah. And so I like that idea, that image of waking up before the kids, because then you can really dictate for yourself, like, all right, what's important to me? And now I'm setting aside time to make sure I do that because I know like those needs will come up, like the fires will happen today, but I've already taken steps on my own to do what's important to me so that when those things do come up, I'm not in this reactive position, and then I feel like I'm playing catch up. I'm already ahead.
Yeah. So it's a safe space here on the podcast, and I think a lot of times we talk about a lot of topics. We give kind of takeaways and points, and we go through definitions and all of that. But
oh boy, you're about to get real here.
Yeah, I think it's a little time to get real with this because I talked about, you know, the example of the morning routine and a friend like, you know, changing hers kind of with that notion of like, yeah, like I need to be more in control of my day. So confession, in the last, I would say 3 months, maybe even a little bit longer, my morning routine has suffered greatly. I think just based on just kind of, you know, a shift in like, career and kids and just, you know, as I've told you, the last year has been a lot from like July of last year to July of this year. a lot has happened. And I'm just tired. I am just dog tired. And I realized that, or not even realized that, I just decided I was going to prioritize like sleep. And by prioritizing sleep, you know, instead of getting up at 5 in the morning, I'm sleeping until like 6:30. Actually, I've been pushing it to 7 lately, but like,
yeah, you sleep past 7. It's like, hey, are you okay?
Yeah. And I think that the response there is I'm not okay. And so that's why I'm sleeping more. But
so do you think, and I don't mean to interrupt your flow, but like, is part of sleeping in for you, like in a way, like avoiding some of the things, you know, you're going to have to respond to in the day?
Well, so this is where I'm going with this. So here, my, you know, thinking is like, okay, like I'm just going to sleep in a little bit longer. And surely because it's summer and the days are longer and you're home, I don't have to get up at 5 in the morning to work out and to go to the gym. I can for sure get it done some other time during the day. And I can get up at, you know, sleep until my body says it's time to get up, which is good. We need sleep, and have my cup of coffee and just like take the first 45 minutes of my day for myself. And you know what I've realized in the last few months that I've been doing this? It's a freaking disaster. I do not get up. I do not get a workout in. I do not get to drink my coffee quietly. I do not get 45 minutes to myself. Not,
yeah, the later you pour that cup, the less quiet it's going to be.
And I've been in a very reactive position. And like, if I'm looking at kind of even just like my mood and my productivity, and just how I'm feeling about things, like I feel like I am not any better for it, nor am I in a great place. And so, you know, now that I'm kind of watching that, I'm like, ooh, that's rough.
Yeah.
So what are my options? My options are to be more proactive about how I want to start my day in order to feel fulfilled that I'm going to get the things that I want done and to cross things off my list. I thought that maybe a break from a routine would be good. I think overall, sometimes that's needed, right? There are certain rhythms to life and to timings and to busy seasons. And you do need that. But maybe instead of having like 2 days where I sleep in and, you know, not working out or not X, Y, and Z, I thought that just kind of giving it up would be the break that I need. And I'm finding that I feel a little bit lost without it.
Yeah. I agree. Like if I want to do anything with my day, then there's a 90% chance that I have to do it in the morning. Otherwise, it like won't get done. And I don't think like, as far as proactivity versus reactivity goes, I know like this, the mornings, I think, serve as a metaphor for some of these bigger things, but that's probably one area that one really practical area that we can experiment with and just see how we can structure our routines day to day to make sure that that happens. There's an article, I read a lot of articles that looked at, like proactivity and reaction as like business leaders. And, but one that I connected with the most was actually, written by Tim Ferriss. And it was, the title of it was Make Before Manage. It was kind of a weird title, but he basically meant that when it comes to your day, there's a lot of things that you're managing that you just kind of have to do or things that you, need to respond to. But how critical are they that those are the things that you respond to first? And so his basic wisdom was make or like be proactive, do something constructive with your day before you put yourself in a position of having to manage the rest. Because life is just a lot of management. It's just a lot of stuff that has to get done. So yeah, like maybe it happens in the morning because you're waking up early or just because you're just putting off the stuff that can wait for a time that's more convenient to it. And then the stuff that's most important, then you front load.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, oftentimes we get more done in a certain time of day. And it's usually like the first half of the day, because like then the rest like then snowballs into other people and other things and other responsibilities. And so, you know, kind of just thinking about this proactive reactive, I think there's definitely many benefits to being proactive. And I think that this shift in my schedule to a non-morning schedule, for the sake of kind of rest and recovery, which I thought I needed, is actually doing the opposite. And those three things are, when you're proactive, you have greater stability, less stress, and more control. And what's funny is I felt less stable, more stressed, and less control. And so once you start being proactive, you'll find a greater sense of stability and security. Reactive people respond to those short-term inconveniences as they happen, whereas proactive people can wake up each day knowing they've done what they can to prepare. And it doesn't even start like in the morning when I wake up. Like it even starts from the night before. Like if I'm going to wake up early to be proactive and like get a start or a jump on something, it's because the night before I've made a list of like, what are those four big things I need to hit tomorrow? You know, after my, you know, morning coffee and workout, like what's on my to-do list for that day? But that starts the night before. And then knowing that I'm getting up early means going to bed earlier the night before and setting out my stuff and preparing. And so like, without planning for that and it's not happening, there's less stability. And I get more stressed because I feel like I don't have control over the things that I want because I'm constantly reacting.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I have just, you know, more stress and then less control. When I'm proactive, like I can take charge. And then because I've crossed those things off my list, I feel good and I feel like secure. And So I feel like that's just kind of what's been missing.
It's kind of like this feeling of control. I'd forgotten about this until I was preparing for this episode, but the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, somewhere on this bookshelf behind us, actually the first habit is be proactive, not reactive. I was like, oh, yes, that's true. And it talks a lot about like there's just stuff that you cannot control. We'll take the weather, for example, but there's all kinds of circumstances and people that they're just going to happen. And sometimes it's where our focus is at. Like if we're constantly focusing on the stuff that we cannot control and we're letting that drive us and we're letting that stress us out and we're constantly anticipating or wishing about those things, then that's where our focus goes. That makes us feel worse and more stressed and overwhelmed. And then we lose focus on the things that we actually can control. And we feel like, this was the kicker, was that you feel like there's less that you actually can control. But then if you shift your focus to the opposite, then the opposite happens, where if you are constantly focusing on what you can control, then you lose focus on what you can't, or it doesn't drive you quite as much. You feel more in control of your life. And overall, like you tend to be able to just be more proactive, more action oriented towards the things that you want.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about even just like being proactive and kind of prepping for your days, your weeks, your months, your year by like setting goals or, you know, having priorities or discussing your values, I think what's important too is like, do you leave space in your life? You know, we call it margin, error, breathing room for disruption just in case. Like, is there a buffer, right? Like I'm a wedding coordinator. And so when I'm setting timelines with couples, like I know how long things take on a wedding day. People are like, I never really understand how you know. I'm like, well, this is how long it takes. And this is how long it'll actually take because, you know, you have to like figure in error, disruption, someone totally messing up, someone running late. And so like into those schedules, I build this buffer around things. And what's really great is that like on a wedding day, like I build it in such a way where people are like, man, we were like on time. We were actually ahead of schedule all day because I know how to manage that because I'm looking at it objectively from the outside. But how often am I doing that in my own life where I'm like, okay, this is the day today. These are the things I need to get done. Like what are the things that I can't account for that I need to kind of add in so that I know like when I need to leave or how much I'm actually going to get done in a day. Like I've seen your to-do lists, you know, and I like look and sometimes I laugh. I'm like, okay, how much do you think you're actually going to get done with four kids and me and the dog and your dad
takes
visiting?
Me half the
like,
day right? Just to make the list.
Right. So, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with intentionality and planning. Which reminds me of a quote that I found from Dwight Eisenhower, who said, "In preparing for battle, I have always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable." And that's the thing. The minute you make a plan, usually the crap hits the fan and it's out the window. But the time that you put into planning and thinking it through can often kind of like help you get to where you need to go, even if the plan isn't followed to the T. You've already thought of the contingency plan. You've already thought of like a next step or what comes before or what comes after.
Yeah,
and so it gives you a better perspective and a better understanding of like how you can do a workaround at the last minute because you've actually thought through it already.
Yeah, because you understand it well enough to react well at, you know, at that time. Now, since we're getting real here, I was thinking about this in terms of my experience as an administrator as well, because in working in a school, like a lot of the job as the administrator is to deal with the fires that come up each day, whether it's, you know, student behaviors or academic issues or parent questions, or, you know, there's all kinds of things kind of coming at you. And I feel like a lot of my experience was, you know, maybe subconsciously putting myself constantly in the stream of reaction. I thought I was being proactive kind of, but I'd be like always like over checking my email, always kind of fretting over like little details. And it was just horrible time management, but I felt like I wanted to make everybody happy, which meant that I was just constantly like jumping to respond to every little thing that I could. And maybe in most of those things, I did it well, but over, and this is kind of me transitioning to like, you know, beyond just the daily routines, but like over the span of time, I wasn't really being proactive with, I think, being the kind of leader or kind of building in certain, you know, programs or systems or things that could have made that more efficient or could have made the school a better place. Because I was constantly distracted or disrupted or just kind of, you know, waiting to be in this posture of reacting to the next thing and playing catch up and never actually getting ahead.
So more worried about clearing the inbox than taking care of the heart of what was in the inbox.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I guess there's kind of a spirit to the job of, you know, you're in an excellent position to be able to have like a great positive influence over the school. And there certainly were those opportunities and moments for me that I came through with it. But I feel like there could have been more. And I feel like this expands to life as well, where sure, we could go through a day and feel like I was just responding to this and that and didn't get anything done. But if that's how we constantly live, then we can do a week of that. Man, I didn't get anything done this week, or a month, or even just a year of, man, I look back at the past year and what do I have to show for it? Like I was busy the whole time, but at the end of this year, I have nothing of substance that I can say like I have created, because I never made that space to make that a priority and to proactively pursue it. So it's whatever I wanted to do, it was kind of this wish that I never fulfilled for myself. And so I think that's part of the mentality that I feel like in some domains of my life, I'm very, you know, very good or very in control of taking positive steps forward. And in other domains, I'm far more reactive. And so I think this conversation is good to maybe try to expose those different areas where it's like, where do I have kind of this wish that I don't want at this time next year to say I never was proactive towards fulfilling that or towards resolving it, because I was allowing other things in that area to get in the way.
Well, and I think that begs the question too, like, what are you inviting to happen to you? You know, if you are not prepared to put some boundaries in place to protect like your values, your goals, or your dreams, then you're going to be constantly in a position to only react. And so like, what boundaries do we need as individuals, as parents, as spouses, like whatever that is, in order to give us room to be proactive in the things that set our soul on fire? So I think that's one thing that I, you know, as you're talking, that came up. The other thing too is like, we have to remember to be prepared to play the long game. So like I said, I've kind of been off these last few months and I've been out of my routine and out of my habits, and now I'm kind of feeling lost. And the answer is that I need to be more proactive. But whether it's your career, your family, your workouts, your health, like one bad day, one bad week, a bad month, a bad year, like cannot determine who you are and what you do. And so even just saying, yeah, you know what, these last few weeks or this chunk of time at this job, like it did not produce any fruit for me. But that doesn't mean I can't start again tomorrow. And so no one's looking for 100% perfection, right? Yeah, I'm reading this book right now by a trainer. I follow him on Instagram. I don't even know how to say his last name. I think his name is, I'm going to butcher it, so I'm not even going to say what his name is. But he wrote a book and I'm reading it. And he was talking about
What's the name of the book?
The book is called Eat It. So it's just kind of talking about like diets, habits, nutrition.
Isn't that a Michael Jackson song?
That's Beat It. But he's... Are you okay?
Okay.
Sorry. All right. You know, that it's talking about no one's expecting perfection, but it's about consistency. And so we're not going to be perfect. We can't expect to be perfect, but like we can maybe shoot to be perfect like 80% of the time. And that's a more realistic goal, right? So that it doesn't have to be 7 days a week that you're, you know, doing this or doing that or doing it that way. But like consistency over time is really what's going to make the biggest difference. And so, yeah, like when stuff gets in the way, right? And we can only be reactive, like, okay, like we're going to have to like, you can't control that. And we have to say this too shall pass. It's only for a time and get back to it as soon as we can, when we can. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important, like that we realize that, like I always demand perfection. And I think I'm either all in or all out. And that's really not what it is. Like right now I've been all out and now I'm afraid to get all back in, but no one's requesting that of me. It's just being consistent a little bit at a time.
Yeah. And I feel like I've been this way at times, or maybe some of you listeners have been, or we all know somebody that like you feel like in their life it's constant drama or turmoil or bad luck, and it's just like kind of one thing after another of what seems to be out of control. And I think there are times where I felt that way. But it's like this shift in perspective, like of like, okay, like knowing the difference between, all right, I can't control this, so I'm just going to let that happen and not fret over it, but kind of reassessing what can I control. And I think sometimes we have more control than we really realize. There was a story in an article that I read, and this referenced the Seven Habits book, so it might be in that book as well. But it was about a Holocaust survivor, and there's a lot of powerful stories like come from Holocaust survivors. This guy talked about how there's a stimuli, and no matter what the stimulus is, then more reactive people kind of jump immediately to a response to the stimulus. Whereas there's actually a gap between the stimulus and the response. And so the Holocaust survivor said, like, okay, the stimulus is the Holocaust and his experience in that, like watching, you know, and living through all of the horrible experiences that he did, watching loved ones die and, you know, all the other things that came with his experience. But he didn't have to respond by giving up hope or by hating or by any of the other things that he felt like were a lot of we could just say are natural responses to that. There's a gap where a decision can be made about how you choose to respond to those things. So a lot of it was out of his control, but he was still in control of his thoughts and his emotions and his response to the things that were taking place. And that gave him a great deal of equanimity to be able to, you know, survive those times and to go and live a thriving life afterwards. And so I am grateful for the life that I lead, which is nowhere near the Holocaust. But at the same time, there's stimuli that happen that could potentially elicit a response. But we're in control of our thoughts and of our next behavior or our next emotion. And just recognizing that, I think, goes a long way.
Other thoughts in general about proactive versus reactive?
For me, I like, all right, so I'll give another example for our listeners, because I've been, you know, off and on, we've mentioned that, you know, one of my goals over the long term is to develop a little bit more of a real estate business. And so I think I'm a really good student. So I've spent a lot of time reading about that. And that can feel proactive, and it is to an extent, but true proactivity is like taking action. And so even just yesterday, I went and met with a couple of guys that I really had no business talking to, like super intelligent, super experienced guys about a specific property that they own. And it was a great experience for me, but I feel like I felt kind of proud of myself to be in that position, even though I'm underqualified, I think, to be having those kinds of conversations, interactions, like just, you know, turning some of the knowledge that I've tried to gain into action and taking some of the steps that I have to at least get myself in the door of places where I never would have even a few months ago, I feel good about. And so that's one area where I feel like that proactivity is starting to build into, you know, taking what I guess started as a wish list and turn it into something more tangible. One thing that's helped though is that you've made some space for me to do that too. Like I love working in the mornings, and you've also, even just over the last few days, like, just allowed me.
I have acquiesced my plans and.
Right. You're like, well, why don't you, your suggestion to me was to like, why don't you go out in the mornings, like take the time to do the X, Y, and Z things that you want to do. And then the idea really was to switch. And then in the afternoons you would work and then I could do the summer, whatever, with the kids.
But we have to accept what we cannot control.
Right. So there's a lot that's come up as well, but I'm grateful for you. And I think this is where the spouse part comes in, where we can encourage one another to be more proactive in the areas of life that matter and try to make space and opportunity for one another to be proactive. Because otherwise we could both be busy all day on household stuff and then feel like at the end of the day, we're just defeated. Whereas if we have like a good partnership with that, then that can help us both go further.
Yeah. But even so now, if we're like, you know, shifting this, you know, even back to like marriage and roles and goals and making space, you know, okay, proactive people act rather than being acted upon. Okay, great. So you have stuff that you want to accomplish and I give you that space. But I think like if you're listening and you have a spouse, like sometimes I understand what you're doing and I understand what you're trying to accomplish. But like at the same time, like that's not where like my passion is. And so sometimes like I feel like, you know, there's a disconnect for me where like, I know you need to do this.
And like, why am I making time for this?
Correct. Right. Like, is it generating, what is it generating at this moment? It's actually generating nothing at this moment, but it will hopefully.
It's actually costing. Yeah.
Correct. So, I think sometimes with like spouses or with dreams or with goals or with plans, like sometimes we just don't understand each other's stuff. And I think that that's okay. Like, and I do understand what you're trying to do, like generating future like wealth for our family, like long term, pay for kids' college to like I get that. And I understand that that's so important. But like on a Tuesday morning, like I just need to work. And so, you know, I there's a balance there, you know, and I think when you're talking about any topic and you're married and you have family, like it's never easy. It's never like clear cut. Like people get their toes stepped on. People are disappointed. And I think that's just life. But I think we have to proactively like love our spouse. I think we have to intentionally set some space for each other. I think we need to push each other. And so that's part of the conversation too. Like we can react to everything that's going on. But how are we proactively loving our spouses to do what they want to do?
Right. Let's not make ourselves one more thing for the spouse to react to or one more excuse, that our spouse has for not doing the things that they'd prefer to be proactive towards.
All right. So I think if you want to be proactive, you have to be strategic. I think that's part of it. You can't just wake up and be like, oh, I'm going to be proactive today. Like today's proactiveness, like depends on like last night's preparation. So to be strategic, I think you should start with some of the following questions. And I think these are all things that we've kind of asked during this episode, but like, do you set intentional goals for the day? Right? How much plan or prep do you use on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? And maybe that's just for you. Maybe that's for your business. Maybe it's for your family. Maybe it's with your spouse. Like it doesn't just happen and it's not going to just happen unless there's that plan.
Well, you could make time for yourself to do it. And then you could sit down and be like, okay,
what am I doing?
What am I doing?
Right. So, you know, it takes like longer conversations. I think it actually takes time for you to sit and think and plan. And sometimes we can't just like sit down and be like, okay, let me sit and think and plan and nothing comes. So like, are you giving yourself space in your world, in your schedule now to kind of like sit through and think through those things? Because we're just not going to know all the time. Sometimes it takes a bit of searching to kind of figure out what that is. Are you leaving space for error, breathing room, disruption in your day? What are you inviting to happen to you, whether that's intentional or unintentional, whether you're sabotaging yourself or whether you're just weak with boundaries? You know, what boundaries are you putting into place to protect your time and your dreams? And then, you know, also, are you prepared to play the long game? Whether it's career, family, workouts, health, you know, one bad day, again, one bad week, month, even a year, even a career or a 3-year period, like does not have to determine what comes next.
I'd add one more to that list too. And I would say, what's something that you actually do have control over that maybe on the surface you have originally historically perceived not having control over that thing? Because I mean, I felt that way. Like, oh, I could never do that, you know, fill in the blank. Well, if you actually break it down, then it is doable. Other people have done it. So what steps could I feasibly take?
Or just go back to that definition, proactive people act. I could never do that. Challenge yourself to go out and go do it today.
Yeah, go do it today. Go what do is it.
So what do you think?
I think that we need to have a conversation about what you want your mornings to look like. And how I can help
so
you
much,
with that.
So much there. Or I want to simultaneously sleep until 9 and also get up at 5 and work out. And so here we are at 7 with a cup of coffee and a grumpy mom.
Yeah. It sounds like a 5 a.m. workout, a 7 a.m. nap, and you can get to work by 9.
There you go.
All right. All right. Well, we'll continue to have that conversation between us. What are the conversations, the thoughts, the proactivity that you want to pursue? I do recommend that you check out the first, at least the first habit in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And of course, check out the RelentlessPursuitPodcast.com, sign up for the newsletter, and hit us up with any thoughts, ideas, or questions, or reactions to the show. And finally, Rosanna, if they go to iTunes, what should they do?
They should leave a 5-star rating and a glowing review. After all, it's our podiversary, and what better way to celebrate than to give us the gift of words of affirmation.
That's right. So go be proactive on iTunes, people. All right. So we hope you have another great week, and we're looking forward to enjoying the rest of the season and the rest of the summer with you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you will use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes, and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Until next time, let us know how you are taking life off autopilot.
And relentlessly pursuing what matters.